promise me something. Okay? Attention up here. I need you to promise me something very, very special. Okay? That what happens here today, nobody takes out of here. Because today we're going to do something very special where we're going to be doing some time traveling. Time traveling. Okay? Now, I don't want anybody to know that we've cracked how to travel through time. Okay? So today, just today, you have to promise not to take it out of here. Well, maybe not so much. But today we're going to be doing time traveling. And this time traveling, I want you to go back. Some of us, we have to travel further than others. So some of you are going to be faster than us than others. So anyway, I want you to go back to when you're in school. Okay? Now for some of you, you don't have to travel very far. For some of us, we have to travel much further. You know? So we're going to get to that point where we're traveling and we're going back to that time that we were in school. Whether we're in high school, in junior high, middle school, elementary, doesn't make any difference. Maybe perhaps you are smarter than I and you can encompass all of them together and remember all of them at the same time. I am not geared that way, so it's not going to happen that way for me. So I'm going to time travel to one point in my history as I want you to travel to a point in time in your history and remember some things. Because I remember in high school and school and period that when I was growing up, I was surrounded by several types or groups of people. They were all around me. Didn't matter where I was looking, didn't matter, you know, how far off it was. They were there, these groups of people. And there were many different kinds. And I'm going to mention just a few of them, and perhaps you guys will recall that you may have come across these different groups of people. Recognize them in some way or some fashion. But there were these kids that had their, we called them the cool kids. You know what I'm talking about? The cool kids. You were in, you know, you were in school, or perhaps you know now, even today, maybe it's happening, I don't know. You could tell me later. But you're surrounded by cool kids. These were the cool kids. But this wasn't the only group of kids in that school, right? Wasn't certainly the only group of kids when I was there. There was other groups in there. We had the popular kids. Now, sometimes we look at that and go, hey, well, the cool kids and the popular kids were kind of the same. Yeah, that might be right, but sometimes they were a little bit separate even. They had the athletes, or sometimes, as us old folks like to call them, the jocks, you know, the ones that were really good at sports, the ones that everybody looked at them and go, they are talented in the area of sports. It seems like anything they touch in the area of sports just explodes golden. There's another group also, the ones that we refer to as the floaters. And these groups of people seem to go from one group to another group to another group to another group. They associated with many different kinds. It's not like they stayed in their lane. They had many different lanes in their life and in school and in their construct of groups. There's also the good ats. Maybe you know some of those. Didn't matter what they touched, whether it was music, whether it was academics, whether it was athletics, they were just good at something. Whatever they touched in their life, they were good at. It seemed like they could not fail at anything. I don't know if you know some of those. There's the fine arts kids, the fine arts group, ones that are talented and gifted in music and artistic nature of drawing and stuff. That is not me if you've seen me draw. There's also the ones, the brains, you know, the ones that we, what did you call them in your school, the brainiacs, the brains? Did you refer to them as the nerds maybe? Or the geeks perhaps? The ones that were just smart and they didn't have to study for anything. They just got straight A's all the time. It was upsetting. They didn't have to do those things I had to do. They didn't have to go home and study and get those straight A's or those perfect papers and things. There's the normals, and I don't really know what that is, what normal is nowadays. You know, it's kind of a construct of that changes from time to time what normal is. There's also, well, those are ones that I referred to in my time as the stoners. You know those? You know those guys? Those people, right? You remember those? You know, they're probably still hanging around a little bit today, but it's unfortunate. You know, they need Jesus in their life. So, they need Jesus in their life. There's the emo and the goth. Now, this was not a thing when I was in school, emo goth. You know? And I'm perhaps older than, well, not all of you, but most of you in this building. And I don't remember the emo and goth during my time. It was well after, when I had graduated, when I was in college, that the emo and the goth seemed to, you know, sprout out of the ground somehow. I don't know. But there's also, and this one is another one new to me, and perhaps my younger fellow brothers and sisters here can tell me and illuminate me in this, is the anime and the manga, or the manga. Thank you. I know. See, I just didn't know. I didn't even know how to pronounce it correctly. The anime and the manga group. Do you have those groups nowadays? Do you have the anime and the manga groups? The people that just enjoy adult animation, pretty much, right? Is that what it is? I don't know. But, and this is the final group I have to go back and, you know, talk about at the moment, is the loners. The ones that just don't seem to fit in anywhere, that they're all alone. No matter where they're at, they're sitting by themselves. And when they work and do things, they do things by themselves. In fact, to see them with somebody either means that they were purposely put there because of an assignment that they had to be with somebody. Do we still have those around today?
That's me.
The loners? That's you? The loners? Well, maybe so. Maybe not. But these are a group of people, of social construct of people that we have, the social types of kids that's there. And, well, whether you want to believe it or not, it might be a shocker to you that you fell into one of these types of groups, or you are probably in one of these types of groups right now. As others would look at you, not necessarily your brothers and sisters and your people that truly know you, but when people look at you, probably perhaps when you were still in school, if you're not in, you know, that people looked at you as like you fit into this mold. This is the group that you came into, this social caste that was there. And perhaps that social caste that you're in was not the one that you wanted to be in, but it's the one that you were placed in, not by yourself mostly, probably by somebody else. Placed you in that group. It was not a voluntary thing that happened there. Now, when you were put in that group, you were given that label. Probably one of those labels that I mentioned, maybe one that I didn't, maybe, you know, maybe it was a conglomerations of one or two of those things. I don't know. But we were given a label. And all of these labels, as we put it, did not have the same tier of standing, did it? There seemed to be a hierarchy about it. And that you would look at this one and say, well, this one's the one I want to be in because it's got a higher class or a caste or it's got a higher tier or it's seen as in a better light than this one down here. Do you remember thinking that sometimes? That you were put in a certain class, a group of people, and you wanted to not be in that one. You wanted to be better or in the upper one as you saw it. We all kind of go through that. And most of you know what I mean. You're all adults here, young adults and above. And you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything is really revealing at the moment. But it is revealing when it comes to our time travel today and our message. That you need to keep this in mind as we continue through the message of what the Lord has put upon my heart today. Because this is very important. In fact, in the Bible, there was a caste system. In the Bible, there was a tier system that people would look at, and some people were thought of as a higher status than others. Certainly the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought of themselves as being better than others. That others would look at them and go, that's what I want to attain myself to. But as we continue to go through the Christmas story and the characters in that Christmas story, there's something that I wish to bring to light. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you want to follow along, I did not have these put up in the slides this morning. We're just going to read them. And we're going to continue our journey through the Christmas story in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, if you get there, would you turn to chapter 2, please? And we're going to continue off from our previous weeks in our Christmas story. And if you're in chapter 2, let's go ahead and scroll down to verse 8. And we're going to begin reading there. If you wish to follow along in a Bible or your app, or just listen to me, that's fine. And it begins with, "In the same region there were some shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased.' And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. All who heard it wondered at the things they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went away, glorifying and praising God for all that they had been heard and had seen, just as they had been told." This is an amazing story. We've talked about other parts of the story, the Christmas story that came. But here we talk about shepherds who were visited by angels. And these shepherds themselves went and visited the baby Jesus, right? And the shepherds that, after reading the story, we as Christians look at these shepherds and we think fondly of them. We think shepherds are great. We look at them as being one of the best class of people that ever be. These people got to see the baby Jesus. We are called to be shepherds, right? Of our special little flocks. So why would we think that that position is not something of high regard? But if you look back in history and you look through the time of the Jews in their nation of Israel, actually, the shepherds were some of the lowest class of people that there were. It was one of very insignificant social standing. They were actually thought of as outcasts. And these outcasts were thought of that because, well, most of the time, 24/7, they were out in the field taking care of their flock, making sure everything was okay out there. And these shepherds, as they were tending their flock out in the field, well, I'm sure that some of you who have, you know, the farmers and the ranchers in your life, that they've come home in such a state that they just need to jump in the shower. Never. Okay. I must be mistaken. But these particular shepherds stayed out in the field. And they stayed out in the field to such a point that they were usually not clean enough that they were allowed to go into the temple to worship God. That their state of being was so uncleanly and dirty that they were not allowed to worship God in the temple that was put there for the nation of Israel and the Jewish citizens. It's kind of hard to believe that sometimes, about shepherds being thought of in such a way that they were ostracized from being with God and worshiping Him. But the shepherds, well, they were a tough class of people. They were a tough bunch. See, these shepherds, they were used to being out in the elements. You know, and they have seasons much like we have here where it's cold sometimes and it's really hot sometimes. They've spent some hot days out in the sun delivering water to their herds so their herds could survive and doing all that work. They'd spend time out in the wintertime cracking ice so their herds had feed and had water to drink during that time. They would stay out all night long. They would see dangers. Dangers of their herds being attacked by predators such as wolves and cougars, bears and lions. We've read about that, or at least heard about that from King David before he had fought Goliath. He had fought bears and he had fought lions while watching the herds for his father. These shepherds would consistently work long hours. A lot of times they would actually even spend all night with their herds. And they would take and they would put their herds together and they would put them in a pen. And they'd put them in this pen to keep them safe at night. And then these shepherds would actually lay there across the opening of the pen as a gate to keep their herd, their animals inside that pen. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't suppose that they probably got a very good night's sleep doing that. The sheep going on, making noise probably, maybe trying to even get out. I don't know. I've never been a shepherd of a flock like that. I can just imagine what they went through and what the things that they dealt with. So that's why I look at them and I go, they are a tough class of people. But they were also the outcasts. The outcast of the nation. But something special happened with this tough group of people, with this outcast society of people. You see, somebody came to them very special. And if you remember reading through that Christmas story, you will recognize the fact that an angel came to them. And it said in Luke 2:9, it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what happened to them? They were afraid. These tough, courageous, brave, and brazen group of people were terrified at the angel coming to them and showing themselves to them. And not just one, but a multitude. These people were afraid. In fact, they were afraid to the point where sometimes it says that they were frightened so much that they were seized with alarm. Can you imagine being seized with alarm? Think back. We're doing some more of that time traveling. Think back in a time maybe in your life that you've been scared so much that you were afraid to even move. That you got scared so bad that you couldn't even run. You were terrified, seized with alarm. That's the way these shepherds were. But the angels knew this, and the angels talked about how they were going. In Luke 2:10 it says, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news." And news that is not only going to add to the people, but it's going to bring joy to all the people. They were so afraid that the angels had to say, "Don't be afraid." I look back at this story and the way it goes, and I truly wonder in amazement. And isn't it interesting that the birth of our baby Jesus at this time was first revealed to these social outcasts? That this group of people that were so insignificant to everybody else, that God revealed the birth of His Son to them first. And that they became overjoyed at this fact. You see, Jesus came to this earth, to this place, for a very specific purpose. And I hope that all of you remember what that purpose is, but I'm here to remind you of that, where the Son of Man said that he came to seek and save the lost. You can read about that in the same book of Luke as you go through, that you can see, and he says, I've come here, for the Son of Man has came to seek and save the lost. Even before that, when he was talking with Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus had revealed why he was here. In chapter 5 of this same book, he answers them by saying, I am not here for the healthy. I'm here for the sick. For the sick are the ones that need a doctor. For he came here to do what? What did he come here for? He came here to call not the righteous, but to call the sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus was here for. He was here for a very special purpose. And he revealed himself, the Heavenly Father revealed himself to this social outcast. And I'm not here to say that this social outcast, we're not righteous, but we're all sinners, folks. These people are sinners, we're sinners, we're all sinners. And he revealed himself to this group of people because they were sick also. They were to a point where we all at that time needed a Savior. They needed a Savior, even the shepherds. And the Heavenly Father did something very special at that time when he revealed the birth of Jesus, when the angels came, because the Heavenly Father did something where he started breaking down barriers when Jesus was just a baby. Baby Jesus was there breaking down barriers already. He was calling those people that would normally not be called and not looked upon as serving in the temple and being a part of something and delivering a message. Heavenly Father said, no, this is where I'm starting. I'm starting with these people because we now need to bridge a gap. It has been there for so long. And he started breaking down these barriers between the social groups out there. Think about that when you think about the social groups that you have at school. Usually when you're in one group, you don't get to go to another group. There's just a barrier. But think about how God can break down those barriers. Imagine how the world would be different if all people saw things this way. That there didn't have to be barriers between us. And that we would love people, all people, at all times. It'd be such a fantastic thing. And we see God moving in such a way right now that we see Him doing something spectacular and out of the necessary norm of what people were used to at the time, even before then. And he was projecting a new covenant and projecting a new message to all those around. But he didn't do it just for this one class of people, the shepherds. No, he went beyond that. Way beyond that. Because you see, the shepherds were not the only group of people that were to visit Jesus as a child. There's another group also. And I'm pretty certain that you know who those are. But we're going to read about it anyway. We're going to read about the famous Magi, or the wise men, because their story is one of significance just as much as a shepherd's. So if you still have your Bibles or you have your apps, let's turn to the book of Matthew. Because in the book of Matthew, we're introduced to who these wise men are. And we know the significance of their story and what they brought. If anybody remembers the Christmas story, they did some amazing things and they brought gifts with them. So if you're in Matthew, let's turn to the chapter 2 of Matthew. And if you're there already, we're going to start right at verse 1. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now let's jump down to verse 10 quick, where it says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." We had these magi from a distant location. While they were in that distant location, they saw his star. And I'm assuming it's the same star that the shepherds, you know, were around. That they saw it maybe at the same time. I don't know. It doesn't really tell me for sure in the Bible. But they saw this star where they're at. And they decided that they wanted to go. And they came and they worshiped the child Jesus at that time. And they gave him and his family gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just like we hear about in the songs, in the stories, and we read in the Bible. And we know there's significance in those gifts that they were given, but this is not the message about those today. You see, we want to concentrate on this magi group or wise men. Because we look in there and we read about it, and it goes, we kind of wonder who they were. Who were the magi? Where did they come from? Why was it that they came and worshiped God? What drove them so far to go so long? Because when we look at it and we read through the scripture in here and we find out things, we read that they could have came any time from days, months, or even years later. I certainly did some research and they had to travel 800 to 900 miles to get from the place where they are at to the place where Jesus was. That's covering a lot of distance. And it's surmised that they maybe even arrived some nearly 2 years after Jesus was actually born. Because they came from the east in the Persian area, the area of Babylon, where, well, things had happened earlier in history. You see, these magi, these wise men, were actually, well, they were Gentiles. They were not Hebrew. They were not Jews. They did not belong to the nation of Israel. They were Gentiles. They're just like you and I. But they were important because Jesus was revealed to them in a very special way. And these people that we look at as being Gentiles and not Jews, we kind of wonder, well, how did they get the information that they had about what this star truly meant and why it drove them there? Well, if we go back in that history and we start thinking about the time of the exile of the Jews, we think about, well, I think about anyway, of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those four important people that had such an influence in that area. In fact, these four people became so important in that time that some say, and you can look in the Bible, that they became very important, that sometimes they were looked at as being second in their nation or in that area, only to the king himself. And I think about sometimes, and it's not backed up by any scripture, so it's just my curiosity and my thought and my heart where I go, that these magi and wisdom were actually descendants of these four people. I don't know. But they certainly got the knowledge of what this star meant from the Jews being exiled into that area. That it was revealed to them somehow. That God had revealed to them what this truly meant. And these people, magi, these wise men, they were people of influence and affluence. That they were smart. They were probably scholars. We know that they probably had some money because they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh with them. And those were not cheap in that day. And they gave them away. But they certainly possessed the information and the knowledge of what the star meant. And they were driven to chase it down. And a star, they saw this star which drove them to searching for the King of the Jews. And if we look at it, this star, as I read it in Scripture, and if you disagree with me, we can certainly talk about it because I'd love to talk about it. The star probably did not last for 2 years. In fact, if you read in Scripture where in the second chapter of Matthew where we were, in 7 it says, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star, which had been seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was." But this star was still around. How come everybody didn't see it? If the star had been there, why weren't there more people wondering what this star still was, and for nearly 2 years, if this star was around? I don't know. But it says in there that the star that they had seen, and that could mean any different things, but if King Herod wasn't looking at the star and wondering what it was, these magi certainly were. And they were looking at it. They were looking up. And when they saw the star again, lo, they behold the star again. And they went in and they worshiped the child Jesus. And they gave him the gifts. I find it amazing the fact that these people, these Gentiles, this nation of Gentiles saw a star, these group of people. And they looked at it and they traveled with a dedication of purpose in their heart to go see a king that was not even part of their nation, to go see the King of the Jews that would change the world, that they would be so encompassed in it and they would be so electrified by it, so excited by it, that they would travel 900 near miles to go see a child that was not something a part of their nation. So amazing to think about that and the way God reveals that to them. These wise men demonstrated a desire to find and worship this newborn king. And this was not an easy journey. And it certainly wasn't a short one. You know, we can travel what? 900 miles in about 15 hours. Some of us a little faster. Some of us a little slower. But we can get somewhere that amount of distance in a day. It didn't take them a day to do that back then. They traveled a long ways and went through many hardships, especially if they spent nearly 2 years traveling there. You know, I think about the fact that they did not waver during that time at all, that they came and they were part of it. They wanted to see the baby Jesus. Perhaps even when the sign from heaven went away, they still traveled in that direction. I don't know if God was just truly leading them every step of the way, or whether he allowed them to walk alone some distance. Sometimes God allows us to walk what seems like by ourselves, especially when we ask for a sign to know what we're doing, and God provides that, and sometimes that sign seems to diminish. You know, these people didn't waver in what they were doing, and how quickly sometimes I think back on my life when I didn't see the sign of God as brightly and as clear cut as it used to be, that I lose my way. When things got a little bit tougher, I started doubting. But these magi, the wise men, they didn't. They made their way there. And not everyone was overjoyed when they got there. King Herod certainly was not overjoyed. Some people were praising him. Shepherds were praising him. Some people were angry. Some people, well, maybe they were just even oblivious, that it just didn't register with them. I wonder why people didn't know as much. It said the shepherds went away praising Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that they told somebody. I'm pretty sure that they would have shared it with somebody. But perhaps they weren't listened to because, well, they were the outcasts. Because they were too far near the bottom of the social status. Sometimes we have a tendency not to listen to people that we look down upon, that are at a lower tier on the ladder than others. We just automatically ignore them. I'm hopeful that other people were joyful. But I look at that and the way they reacted back then, and I think about the way people react today. And a lot of things haven't changed. Some are joyful about Jesus. Some are angry about Jesus. And others are indifferent about Jesus. How quickly things come into perspective and they look the same when we don't learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn. I don't know. But even in all of this, it did not deter the Gentiles from the east from coming, because they were determined to find the Messiah and to worship him. Determined. So here we have revealed before us in our time travel. We have the plan of our Heavenly Father revealed before us, and bringing two unlikely groups of people together for one specific purpose. And that's to come out and worship and celebrate our Lord Jesus. To see the born Messiah, to proclaim the good news of his birth, and to take that out into the world, because I can almost assure you in my heart, even if it's not on paper, that they went out and they shared it with people. They told people. And because of that, Father's plan was gaining traction. Things were coming into view. One group of this people got there immediately, and one not so much. But they both got there. And they were both blessed by it. They worshiped the King. But the thing is that even in the shepherds, they left their flock and came and worshiped Jesus. The wise men came from the east, perilous journey, to worship Jesus. They put worshiping Jesus before everything in their life. We see Jesus, baby. Jesus, as a baby, we see him. He showed up on this earth and he started bridging together people. He started removing the gaps that had been put there for so long. That's an amazing tale. He was there to show us that the gospel is for all people. That no matter what we look as ourselves or somebody looks at us in a social standing, Jesus is there for all of us. And this good news needs to be proclaimed throughout history and throughout the world, throughout time. Who Jesus is, who he is for us, and why he's here. But most of all, and this is the part I truly want to leave you with today, that you can rejoice on this simple fact, and this is a rejoice. It's not a time of being down. It's not a time of being somber. It's a time of proclaiming joy. It's a time of proclaiming happiness. It's a time of proclaiming an excitement that Christmas, this time of year is about our personal worship with the King. That we can go forward and we can just proclaim with our voice, we can come up and we can go halal to everybody saying, Jesus is my King and I want you to know who He is because He brings good news to the world, not just Inwood. And now you guys know about the characters of Christmas to say that it's for all people because He brought together two outcast groups and He showed Himself to them first. That's amazing news. That's news that needs to be shared. And as we continue through our Advent time, this is especially a time when I hope that people's hearts are open to sharing the news. And not only that, but receiving the news. So even as we talked earlier on today about people being stressed out, that they're just concentrating on the wrong thing, what a special opportunity it is for us to go out and show them the right thing that they need to put priority in and share about and proclaim in their life. And I pray that someday it changes their life. And I pray it continues to change your life. Proclaiming Jesus and putting Him priority one. And knowing whatever you think of yourself, whatever somebody else thinks of you, you are not a low-tier caste. You are special in His heart and together in our hearts. You're special. So as we continue to worship Jesus, and we're going to stand up in a little bit and worship Him, remember that and proclaim it with all your heart, with your mouth. And when that happens, special things will occur in your life. Okay?